This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey folks, welcome in. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm, your home to over 40 different podcasts that you can select from, one of the fastest growing podcast networks in the, well, in the world, quite frankly. And more shows are coming.
It's a rather heady statement, isn't it?
It's heady times, Armand. It's heady times. I'm Tony Hubert, my co-host.
Best of times.
Armand Kachigian, as we bring you the events, births, deaths, everything throughout the annals of time.
You got a marriage today.
On August the 10th. Yeah, well, I like to omit things so you can go and find them.
You omitted a lot of things today. Yeah. Very slipshod work.
Really? You think? I'll be the judge of that. Hey, we're brought to you by Amazon.com and Audible.com. When Armand or I have a book suggestion, which is I'm looking through today, we may have a couple, or a film suggestion, definitely take us up on it. Go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com and click on the Amazon or Audible banner and go do some shopping. And when you do, it helps support our show, helps keep this little presentation on the air. And don't forget, like us on Facebook, our Facebook page, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. And also, subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and you can get this show probably a minimum of 4 to 5 times a week. We don't do weekend shows.
Yeah, so that'd be a maximum, too.
Yeah, so
As we work through
the 365-day calendar, it probably takes about 2 years to capture everything, plus some specific shows that just pique Armand and I's fancy. All right. I got 1519 as my starting date, but something tells me you might go earlier. No?
No.
All right. On this date,
I wasn't that motivated.
The 10th of August, Seville, Spain. 5 ships set out, circumnavigate the globe. That's their intent. The second in command, Juan Sebastian Elcano, will be the only gentleman who will complete the expedition. Well, not the only gentleman, but the only officer.
He was the leader.
Yep, because the leader, Ferdinand Magellan, will not. He'll die in the Philippines.
Yeah. Well, on his death day, we'll go into that.
And about halfway around the world. But this is the day they all packed up 5 ships and said, we're going to try to go around this whole thing.
They'll never make it.
Yeah. And not all the ships made it. But
fall off the edge.
There's a great, there are several good books on Magellan that have been written.
Not one of my favorite explorers.
No, why not?
He got himself killed.
Well, he did. He did. Don't screw around in the Philippines.
Yeah, I'd rather study Henry Hudson.
I'm telling you.
Men cut him adrift.
Yeah. Or they ever find him?
No.
No?
Or his son. Him too.
What a shame. So, yeah, Magellan. We were talking about Columbus a couple days ago and his crew, 3 boats that set off. So, Magellan, you know any of the ship's names?
No.
You don't care about this at all, do you? Come on.
It's such a big deal. Well, the guy.
It's a big deal, man.
All right, great. I think I'd rather study first Englishman, of course, Sir Francis Drake.
Drake.
Circumnavigated.
Well, he was.
That was many years later.
He was successful.
Yeah, he made it. And then he beat the Spanish. But I guess, what the hell.
Look at the concessions.
I was watching Mutiny on the Bounty the other night.
He gets a monopoly on
the deck, Mr. Christian.
Magellan would have gotten a monopoly of the discovered route for a period of 10 years. The appointments of the governors of the islands and the lands with 5% of the resulting net gains.
Yeah.
Well,
the Philippines,
God
named
almighty,
after
Almighty, he would have been
Philip.
Yeah, exactly. The right to levy 1,000 ducats on upcoming trips. Granting of an island for each one, apart from the 6 richest, for which they would receive a 15th.
That's the deal Columbus should have gotten.
What a.
He died a pauper.
So here's your ships. The Trinidad, the San Antonio, the Concepcion, the Santiago, and the Victoria.
Okay. Yeah.
Decent, but not
bad.
Not really as memorable as Nina Pinta, Santa Maria. Although the Trinidad's got a flair to it. That's the flagship, Armand. 110 ton ship, fit crew of 55.
Drake's ship was the Golden Hind.
Yeah, now that's the ship's name, ain't it?
Well, he changed it, I think, though. That was that wasn't the original name. What the hell was the name of that ship? Anyway, keep going. I'll think of it. I won't even look it up.
No, I'm looking for you. I'll see if I can give you a clue.
I don't want to know.
It's named after the mascot of a New Orleans AAA baseball team.
Okay. Well, let's keep going.
You can't get it.
No.
It's named after the mascot of a current New Orleans basketball team.
I don't even know who their basketball team is.
Wow.
The Jazz.
No, they moved in the 1974, Armand. So welcome to the 21st century. Yeah. It'll come to you.
Yeah.
And when it does, you'll blurt out the word, and I'll be like, that's right!
All right. Well, let's go. Let's keep going.
1675, I enjoy this one. The foundation stone laid at the Royal Greenwich Observatory in London, England.
The observatory got laid?
Well, they laid the foundation stone.
Oh, all right.
I don't know about the observatory itself, but the stone at least got some action.
All right. Well, that's, yeah, Greenwich Mean Time and all that stuff.
You ever been to Greenwich?
No.
They always say to go.
Greenwich Village.
They always say to go. And I'm like, nah, what do I need to see a clock for? I don't give a damn.
Well, there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Well, I'm sure there is.
I don't know what the hell there is
over
there.
I've never gone down there. 1776, August 10th. This is the date in London where word reaches London that the colonies have declared their independence. How do you think that went over when they brought that to the king? We have some mail for you here, George.
He's out of his mind.
Is he already crazy at this point?
Not quite, but he's
but he's slipping towards the abyss.
Porphyria. He's all messed up.
But seriously, what was
the... I don't know. The prime minister, was it Pitt, the elder? No, it couldn't have been. Lord North? I think it was Lord North. He's the prime minister.
But seriously, what's the reaction when you open up the...
They probably didn't even think about it. I was like, we'll put these fuckers down.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they had to think, what a pain in the ass this is going to be.
No, I don't think they thought it was that big of a deal. But they probably looked it over and said, hey, this is well written.
Beautiful penmanship.
Really nice. Of course, they all knew it was Thomas Hobbes, so, you know.
They recognized recognized the source material.
Probably somebody wanted to sue them for plagiarism. Yeah. Thomas Hobbes' estate.
Well, steal from the best, TJ. Steal from the best.
I think it's Lord North, wasn't it?
Yeah. You rank your prime ministers. You're the one who keeps a ranking.
I'm just saying who the hell it was.
I can tell you who was king of France about 16 years later.
Yeah, well, that's not for long.
1792, Louis the 16th. Well, arrested, taken into custody. Lord North was your PM?
That's
very
him.
Good. What party? Was he a Tory?
I think it was a Tory.
Yeah. So Louis the 16th arrested in custody. His Swiss guards are massacred by the Parisian mob.
Yeah. Only by, I don't know, 300. I think on 300 out of 700 or 800 to survive.
Whew. Not good.
They massacred him.
Not good. Now it
got ugly real quick here, but here's the difference between our revolution and the French Revolution.
You know,
we didn't chop the heads off everybody.
No,
these guys went out of their minds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, mob mentality takes over, baby.
French, man, you eat snails. That's what happens.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what eating snails does?
I would. Yeah, I think it's contraindicated. Well,
it's probably the logical conclusion.
Frogs. Don't eat frogs.
Hey, don't.
They eat frogs too.
Yeah, and so do a lot of Americans.
Well, knock it off.
Well, yeah, I can't. Did you ever eat a frog leg?
No. Somebody tried to get me to last.
The only reptile I have ever eaten.
That's not a reptile.
It's not
an amphibian.
It's an amphibian. The only amphibious reptile I've ever eaten.
There's no such thing.
No?
You're either an amphibian or a reptile.
You can't be a reptile that goes into the water and is.
Then no, if you can live in and out, that's not a reptile.
They're just okay.
Yeah.
I've eaten alligator tail.
Okay. Well,
and the little chunks that they do. And actually, I thought it was pretty good. Now, my kid has eaten rattlesnake and a whole bunch of other things at some joint down
in. I'd eat that if it was free.
And
if it was cheaper than chicken, I'd eat it.
I don't know that it's cheaper than chicken, but.
I'm going to be reduced to it after today on the market.
Oh, your market will be fine. Now, 1 year after the mob grabs Louis the 16th, you would think Paris is still kind of. up for grabs. But no, they're opening a big building, a big museum. The Louvre opens 1 year later, August 10th, 1793. You ever been there?
Yeah, I have been to the Louvre.
What did you enjoy the best?
I don't remember. I was 18.
Did you just walk through? Was it huge throngs of crowds? Did you see the Mona Lisa?
Yep.
Did you see?
I wasn't that impressed with that one. I thought it'd be
what impressed
bigger.
You?
Not a, I was 18. Nothing.
No, come on.
French
you,
women impressed me.
You were a
me.
Renaissance kid. No?
Nothing impressed me.
How
still
were the, how were the French gals when you were 18?
Unfriendly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm should've, sorry.
Should have worn my contact lenses.
Maybe you should have worn a beret. Oh, you had glasses?
Yeah.
Oh,
before
boy.
I had my real keratotomy.
You probably had thick lenses, too. Yeah. Big black frames.
Yeah, ugly,
oh, jeez. No, Armand, you can't.
See, that makes my total of 449 even more impressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I am impressed.
I did too well in high school.
Let me tell
college
you,
was
if you brought
better.
That game to Paris.
Yeah, nowadays. Oh, God.
God have mercy on your soul. Jeez. Well, at least you tried.
You don't believe in God anyway. So
no, I do.
Who are you kidding?
Yes, I do. I just don't believe in everyone else's God that a bunch of lunatics are out there trumpeting.
Okay.
Well, good say, right. Or the minister who said yesterday that God, the Bible grants us the right to do whatever we need to do to North Korea. Oh, really?
It does. Yeah.
Oh, it does. Okay.
It does.
Okay. Great. Yeah.
It's in 2 Corinthians. Read it.
I think he cited Romans.
Okay.
Where apparently it's okay to kill 50 million people.
Why not?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Bible.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you, man. Well, I'm a spiritual person, or. I don't know if you call me religious. I taught PSR.
I don't know what I call you.
I taught PSR for 11 years. Enjoyed the hell out of it.
I don't even know what that is.
Public school religion, but it's more like Catholicism at that level is just more like philosophy. They're not really
kind of what it is,
right? You know, they're be the best you can be.
Well,
self.
I don't want to do that.
Yes, you do.
I'd
that's
be
why you
average you.
That's why you
average me.
You still work out. Yeah,
yeah.
You're trying to be the best you can be. So the Louvre. I've never been there, Armand.
Right. Go see it.
I don't know what I want to see. I don't care about the Mona Lisa.
Nowadays, you could probably do some virtual tour. And you don't have to go.
Yeah.
You could probably just hit Louvre and you go.
What's the biggest painting in there? I'd like to see whatever the biggest painting is. Show me that.
What's that got to do with
I like scale. 1821 Missouri admitted as the 20th.
Go look at a billboard then.
Yeah, that's they're always kind of standardized sizes though.
Burma shave.
Yeah. Those are fun to read.
All right.
When I was a kid, they still had those little
things up. Brought it up.
Well, you keep going on the tangents.
All right. Missouri is admitted as a state. Who cares?
Number 24, all 1821. Right.
Smithsonian.
I'm still
cares?
A little confused about Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas. I don't think we need all those states. I think we could have done better. Just reduce that to like two.
You'd rather take over Quebec and Northwest Territory.
Yes.
You landmonger.
Oh, it's the one thing they
imperialist.
Don't make any more of.
They do.
Only if you're in Iceland or certain parts of Hawaii.
Yeah, so new islands coming up and all kinds of stuff.
1846.
As the oceans
evaporate. Yeah,
that's right. It's going down, actually. Yep.
1846, the Smithsonian Institution is chartered. A gentleman by the name of James Smithson.
That makes sense.
Donates $500,000 and Congress says, okay, we got you a museum here.
All right,
now, you know this guy was born a bastard in Paris, France?
Well, that's the place for being born illegitimate.
He was born a bastard, James Smith.
Everybody's a bastard that's born in Paris.
Well,
you can quote me.
Do you really think so? I don't think so. Not everybody.
Another shot at the French.
You love the French. You
the
love
Francais.
You know it. Yeah, he was an illegitimate child of the first Duke of Northumberland. Born secretly in Paris, date unknown.
Okay.
But he got a great education, did a whole bunch of things like... He worked with he was an eclectic studier, kind of like you, liked to study all sorts of things.
Polymath.
Yeah, he's a polymath. There you go. Because you could have a museum named after you, the Kachigian.
No way.
Son.
You know what Errol Flynn says? Any man that dies with 10,000 in the bank is a failure.
Yeah, because you didn't get
that's
the fun
right.
out of that 10,000.
Right.
My grandmother used
Errol
to say,
lived.
I came into this world penniless, and I'm leaving this world penniless.
Yeah, but you never know when you're going to go out.
And
that's the problem with being penniless.
Well, but by golly, she accomplished it.
All right.
Yeah, she set her mind to it and did it.
That's left you a nice legacy.
1920,
there.
The Ottomans, their sultan... Help me here.
Mehmed?
Sixth, I just say Mehmed?
Yeah,
I don't say
guy. This is guy was the last one before. He picked the wrong side. But although, you got to say, I mean, the Ottomans were getting chunks of their empire were getting bitten off by everybody. And he joined the Central Powers.
So this is the Treaty of Sèvres?
Sèvres.
Sèvres.
Which is you know, because there's several. Versailles, that's Germany's.
Right.
And then Austro-Hungary had, there were several, of course, the Ottoman Empire. We know that.
Is this where Churchill gets to come in and start carving it up, carving the
no,
map up?
No, this is the that was later, and that was the Sykes-Picot Treaty and all that stuff.
Okay,
the French and the English. Although, you know, that is the Ottoman Empire they're dividing up. But Lawrence was going to give it to the Arabs. No, just because you fought doesn't mean you get anything. But this Mehmed, he was overthrown by Ataturk, the Young Turks, and that's when.
Is that where you get the expression Young Turks?
Father of modern Turkey, yeah.
Is this gentleman responsible for the Armenian mass genocide?
He was. It was him. And then the Sultan before him, too, I think. What was the guy's, the guy before him? But Sultan.
This divvying up.
Something Pasha. They're all Pashas.
This divvying up of the Ottoman Empire,
Sick man of Europe, they were called.
Yeah, we still feel the effects of this one today. Obviously.
Well, they were fighting. They fought the Balkan War in 1913. There's all kinds. These guys were fighting.
They fought all the time, right?
The Greeks fought them.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody hates the Turks.
Why is that?
Well, they're hateable people.
But why do they become hateable people?
They're Muslims, man.
So all Muslims are hateable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the religious guy. Tell me.
I don't know enough about Islam to speak on it. I just know it's one of the Abrahamic faiths.
It's the Islamic nations in this.
Well, the fundamentalist Islamic nations.
Well, they actually weren't hated. These Ottomans, like I said, they were so weak that, you know, the Europeans were falling all over each other to, you know.
Oh, they saw Crimean opportunity.
But the British, they all had different designs on them. So, you know, the British were protecting them from the French, or the Russians wanted something. So they protect, you know. So that's why we had the Crimean War. That was what that was all about. Because they didn't want the Russians to get access to the Dardanelles and all that.
Did they know the value of what was in the Ottoman Empire?
I don't know.
Was there any indication? In 1920, was there any indication of what the Arabian Peninsula or modern-day Iraq, Iran held in terms of natural resources? Was there any indication of the oil fields that were just laying there waiting to be drilled
early for that stuff? But
because it doesn't Aramco not come up until the 1930s, 1935-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, right now they're just divvying up stuff. That's all.
Okay. 1932. We love science on this show. Here's an interesting little chunk of it. Literally, 5.1 kilogram, which is about 11 pounds. Meteorite breaks up into at least 7 pieces, landing near the town of Archie in Cass County, Missouri. That's a chondrite-type meteorite.
Chondrite?
Yes. Chondrite-type meteorite. That's a lot of meteor to hit the surface of the Earth. 11 pounds?
Yeah, well, as long as it didn't land on anybody. There's only like one person that's been killed by a meteor.
That's it?
Yeah, that's documented.
Oh, that's documented. Like, certainly some caveman got knocked in the head at some point, right? No, it had to happen.
The whole dinosaurs got wiped out by the big one.
Yeah, but
That was 66 million years ago.
That was in 66 million BCE?
Yeah.
Okay.
Way before the Common Era.
1944, the Battle of Guam.
The Triassic. That'd be Cretaceous Triassic. That's not it. Cretaceous Paleogene? The Cretaceous Paleogene extinction?
Oh. I'm not good at those.
We've done this, man.
I'm not good at those.
This?
From
Jurassic, Triassic, Cretaceous, then the Cretaceous and the Paleogene, right?
Okay. I take your word for it. I trust you. 1944, the Battle of Guam comes to an end, effective end, they say. Hopefully we're not getting into another Battle of Guam.
Yeah, well.
Do you believe this?
No, I don't believe it.
Okay.
You know, this is the same shit, though, that when Bush, the second Bush came in, when Obama came in, they all give rough talk to North Korea. This is nothing new. Clinton, too. That's how that's when you're a new president, how you establish your chops.
Ah.
You know, brandishing your sword. Yeah, Cretaceous Paleogene extinction.
So,
or the KT extinction.
So you're not worried. You're not worried about a true nutter and Kim.
I don't think the guy's got. I don't think he's got the. The actual
do you think he's
technology
hold,
to do what he, anything he says.
Do you think he's sitting there holding a bad hand like he's got a pair of threes
I don't think he can hit anything. Guam, he's going to hit. Good luck.
Yeah.
I don't think you hit him. Anyway, this is the KT extinction. 3/4 of the plant and animal species on Earth 66 million years ago. KT being Cretaceous Paleogene, which is weird because Cretaceous starts with a C.
Yeah.
But anyway, leatherbacks. By the way, did we talk about those? What are those things that would survive in space and everything else, that animal? Those water bears? Remember we were talking about that? You think a cockroach can stand? Let me read about a water bear. Have you ever heard of, you know what I'm talking about?
It wouldn't be irradiated. It wouldn't suffer so much gamma radiation.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter?
Tardigrade, but it's also called a water bear.
Okay.
Water-dwelling, eight-legged, segmented microanimals. They were first discovered. We don't care about that, but listen to this. What these
It could survive in space.
Yeah.
Which means it could go from place to place.
Yeah.
Oh, now we got something interesting.
Tardigrades are one of them. That's why they think there might be life, you know, anywhere. Because tardigrades are one of the most resilient animals known. These things are like, I don't know how many nanometers. They're real tiny things.
Definitely, you need a microscope to see it, right?
Okay. Individual species of tardigrades can survive extreme conditions that would be rapidly fatal to nearly all other life forms, including complete global mass extinction events due to astrophysical events, gamma ray bursts, that's a bad one, large asteroids, supernovae. Some tardigrades can withstand temperatures down to 1 Kelvin. That's minus 458 degrees Fahrenheit. While others can withstand...
Is that about the
That's about 1 degree.
Well, is that
absolute zero, one.
Is that the temperature of space, though?
Space isn't that cold.
Okay.
420 degrees can withstand 420 degrees Kelvin. That's 300 degrees Fahrenheit. Whew. For several minutes. Pressure is about six times greater than those found in the deepest ocean trenches.
Wow.
Ionizing radiation at doses hundreds of times higher.
So it could survive a gamma ray burst, you're saying.
That's what it says.
Or
what if... Lethal dose for human and the vacuum of outer space. They can go without food or water for more than 30 years, drying out to the point where they're 3% or less water, only to rehydrate, forage, and reproduce.
So this thing could hop a ride on a...
I'm telling you, these things could... They could
on an
anywhere.
Asteroid.
Well, they can live anywhere.
Meteor, comet, could it do like that?
Oh, they're living on a comet, I guess. Why not? It's a dirty ice ball.
So is this something that could have seeded our planet or any other planet?
Well, I don't know if they think that, but it's just weird. You got an organism that can do that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So now I'm actually believing the movie Alien.
The tardigrade, yeah, water bear.
You ever heard of a magnetar?
Yeah.
I watched a special on magnetars. Sure. Well, it wasn't a special.
Interesting celestial body.
How the universe works and how many magnetars there are. And it was explained.
Pretty rare. I don't know, like 60 of them? Or they haven't had
I thought
many?
It was around that number. Yeah, yeah. That they've identified somewhere around 50
I don't
to 60.
Know how many Tesla that thing's got. And Tesla's a strong magnet.
And that in 2004, the Earth was hit with a burst from a magnetar 50,000 light years away.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Which, in relative...
Neutron star with an extremely powerful magnetic field.
And so what they were doing was explaining how magnetism works. And it was really interesting. I think this was how the universe works.
Well, you know who...
Science Channel.
You know who postulated the magnetic monopole, which supposedly doesn't exist.
Hmm. I don't know.
Our old friend, Paul Dirac.
Oh, Dirac, man. He's on a roll.
Yeah.
He never thought he was going to get this kind of attention, did he?
Paul Dirac.
Not on this podcast.
Okay, I was wrong. There's 23 magnetars are known as of March 2016.
23 known, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's certainly more, but just you got
to... I'm just trying to figure out how many Tesla that
you
thing...
You got to find that.
Magnet is.
These things throw off electric... I mean...
Well, they're magnets.
You can power... If you could harness a iota of the power of one of these.
About 20 kilometers in diameter and have the mass 2 to 3 times that of the sun.
Oof.
That's, wow.
That's dense.
A thimbleful would have a mass of over 100 million tons.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There you go.
So if you had a thimble of a magnetar, put it on this
try
desktop.
Lifting that. Put it on this desk.
Put it on this desktop. It'd basically sink to the center of the Earth.
Yeah, way down. Right. But then it would stop.
It
wouldn't go to China. Yeah, because gravity's that's that stupid China syndrome. Gravity's different. It stops at the center of the Earth. Magnetic fields of 10 to the 8th to 10 to the 11th Tesla. That's a lot. These magnetic fields are hundreds of millions of times stronger than any man-made object and quadrillions of times more powerful than the fields surrounding Earth. We have a magnetic field, of course.
What about how much more powerful than the magnetic fields of our own sun?
Oh, plenty.
Plenty. Even in the ballpark,
10 to
right?
The eighth?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Tesla.
Yeah,
man.
That's a big number, Armand.
Yeah, like the for instance, the Tesla, if you go to get a magnetic resonance imaging, that's about a 1.5 Tesla magnet, and that's strong. That's why you can't have any metal on you. Because I remember we had a foot, we had an MRI in my office to do feet.
Yeah.
And I forgot I had just been shaving on somebody's foot, and I had a scalpel in my in my pocket.
Did it?
And I walked there, zoom, that thing flew out.
It literally flew out of your
damn
pocket.
Damn right it did.
Oh, my God.
And landed on that magnet, and luckily I didn't cut that patient, because the patient had a foot in there.
I would have loved
that's
to see that.
That's why you don't have metal in
that's
there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Zoom, that thing was like Carrie. Remember?
Yes.
Piper Laurie should have been there.
All right. So where was I? Where am I?
Anyway, let's get down to some Battle of Guam, Candid Camera.
Okay, oh, Candid Camera, 1948.
That's, what's his name?
Makes its debut.
What's the guy's name?
Candid Camera?
Yeah, the guy, Futch, or whatever his name
Alan.
Was. Alan Funt.
Funt.
Yeah, Funt, yeah.
You know what?
Pretty funny.
I thought they were back in the day, but all subsequent...
the naked woman behind the counter.
All subsequent Candid Camera shows are just dumb.
No, these were good.
God, they're...
I like the ones with the naked ladies.
Well, those are always fun.
Yeah.
And I think the British really enjoyed those.
Have you seen
they still do a lot of that.
Some of that stuff on YouTube or Facebook where the guy goes in that like a porta potty or tells somebody to wait for him or watch their thing.
Yeah.
And then the guy opens the door and he's got his feet sticking out of the toilet. And he's like, I fell in because they had it all rigged up.
Yes.
So his legs are sticking out.
Okay. Right. Let's do some birthdays. Who was born on August the 10th? Well, in 1874, Herbert Hoover.
I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
31st president, if you're counting.
You know, there's a lot of myths about this guy. First of all, you know what he and Lou, if they were his wife, Lou Hoover. First, he was born in West Branch, Iowa. I've seen his birthplace. Yeah. I want to burn it down. But if he wanted to talk to his wife and didn't want anybody to know what they're saying, what language do they speak in the White House?
German.
Chinese.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they were both. He was stationed in China as a geologist.
Wow.
Made a lot of money. He was a millionaire.
Well, yeah, because
I think his wife Lou, was the first female graduate of Stanford.
He's listed as an engineer. So,
He was a good engineer. He just didn't know So during World War I, he was in charge of the food, you know, for our troops.
Yes.
He's a guy that had wheatless Wednesdays and meatless Mondays. Your sacrifice for our boys.
I don't need any of that.
Yeah, he expected all that stuff. And then U.S. Food Administration. And then he was in charge of the relief for Europe, more food, given away. And then, of course, FDR said he'd be the greatest. He'd be the great president. This is back in like 1916 or 1917, I guess, during the war. That's FDR talking. What a great president he'd make. Boy, is he wrong. Of course, during the myth is that he didn't do anything. He was a laissez-faire guy. Well, that's true after he was president. But during his presidency, Smoot-Hawley tariff, which, let's give him a break, that wasn't his, and he reluctantly signed it. He's the one that jacked up the taxes to 70%. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's
right,
good for
business.
Here's
the note on his wife that you were looking for. Lou Hoover.
Yeah.
Okay. In 1898, she is at Stanford. Mm-hmm. And at the time, as she graduates as the school's only female geology major.
Right.
At the time. Doesn't say she's the first female graduate.
Well, geology. I think geology. Maybe I was.
She also went to the Los Angeles Normal School, which you have attended, Armand.
Is that UCLA?
That is now UCLA. Yeah, right. Most universities started out as normal schools.
Yeah, now it's not normal anymore.
Eh.
Now you got to be a nutcase.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Come on, my daughter.
Yeah,
my daughter's doing very well there.
I know, but they're turning to a socialist fool.
Not so. Not really.
They're indoctrinating her.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No. She hasn't come home with any crazy stuff. In fact, she's come home with less crazy stuff than when she left for
college.
Did she
vote for Jerry Brown?
No. She knows better than that.
She's still got some sanity.
She knows better than that.
All right,
1889, the man who invented Monopoly.
Yeah,
Charles Darrow.
Another millionaire. Yeah, he made a lot of money off it.
Yeah, good for him.
No relation to Clarence Darrow.
No, sadly.
Oh, I got some trivia on Monopoly. Okay, what's the most landed on space?
I don't know. I'm going to guess.
You live in this state.
I'm going to guess it's the red square of Illinois.
Well, that's orange, isn't it?
Is orange?
Yeah, red is.
No,
that's Illinois right.
Illinois is
Kentucky,
a red.
Illinois, and
Indiana?
Indiana, I think, are red. Orange is St. James.
Yeah.
See,
St. James Place.
Yeah, okay. So there's 40 spaces all named after streets or the ones that are named after streets. What city?
I would guess New York.
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City. What do you get at the beginning of the game? How much money?
I thought you got $1,500.
$1,500. How much is total in the set?
Oh, good question. Yeah,
that's a tough one.
Good question. I'd say four players, 15. I'd say there's 10,000 in the set.
20,000.
20,000. Okay.
Well, you remember the name of the cop?
Yeah, the guy who's in jail?
No, not the guy in jail, the cop.
Oh, the cop who's pointing to go to jail?
Yeah.
No.
Officer Mallory.
What's the name of the guy in jail?
Jake the Jailbird.
Jake the Jailbird.
And now it's called Mr. Monopoly, but I remember it as always Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Yeah, Pennybags.
Now it's Mr. Monopoly, supposedly.
All right.
So that's it.
What was your favorite piece?
Oh, I liked the battleship.
I liked
Or did they have one?
I like the old style IndyCar.
Oh, yeah. That's the one. Remember, did you ever see that Carol Burnett episode where they're playing?
No.
That's the one where Harvey Corbin always, Ed wanted to be there. I'm a race car. And he's like, rum, 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 rum. He's driving everybody nuts. Well, that's a hilarious.
I always thought it was weird that anyone would want to be the iron or the top hat.
Yeah, well, that was Carol Burnett. I am the top hat. It's a family tradition. Top hat.
All right, who else born? Jack Haley, 1898.
He's a nobody.
Really?
One part, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one part. Great, one of the great movies of all time, but one part.
I don't know about that. Now, you forgot 1902, a real actor, my favorite actress, Norma Shearer. That's right, Norma Shearer.
Wow, yep. Your favorite actress.
My favorite actress, okay. I told you. That watch Marie Antoinette. She was unbelievable in that part. Canadian gal, had a lazy eye. Now, talk about working. She worked her diet. She worked exercised her eyes like 3 or 4 hours a day. So you couldn't, even sometimes in the movies, you can see it once in a while. When she's getting a little tired, you can tell she's got a little drift there, or strabismus, as we call it in the business, in the strabismus business.
Hey,
she won for The Divorcee, which was interesting because she's always playing these wholesome parts, and she wanted to be this real, slut. And they were like, nah, you're too, you're like Mary Pickford. Nobody's going to believe that. She was very believable, won the Academy Award. And, of course, Joan Crawford, of course, said, of course she gets all the good parts. She's sleeping with the boss, which she was. She was married to Irving Thalberg, which is always nice.
Yeah, that helps.
And here's a trivia question for you. She and her brother, Douglas Shearer, are the first brother and sister to win Academy Awards. He was a sound guy at MGM.
Wow.
So that's a trivia question.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
She retired in 1942. She discovered Janet Leigh.
Well, that's a biggie.
Yeah.
And
who always, thanked her and was very grateful. She was sister-in-law of Howard Hawks.
Ooh.
I guess that's after.
Well, she's in good company.
After Thalberg died. See, Thalberg died very young.
Yeah.
Then she remarried. But Marie Antoinette, that's a great performance.
All right. You know what? I might check that out. If you'll check out the Sofia Coppola version of Marie Antoinette. Oh, come on. 1909, happy birthday.
Like her performance in Godfather.
No one did, except for me, apparently.
No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the Godfather. She's actually the son that gets baptized.
Oh, it's her? It's Sophia?
Yeah, at the
font.
Yeah.
I didn't
Even
know that.
That was rotten acting. She's an infant. Yeah, that's her.
1909, the founder of Fender Musical Instruments, Leo Fender. Where would music be without the Telecaster and the Stratocaster?
Is that him?
You don't know
Fender?
Any? Yes.
Okay.
Come on.
I thought it was Les Paul.
No, there.
Who cares?
Help me.
That garbage.
Garbage.
You missed another guy. Well, I'm gonna.
No, I didn't. We're on Fender.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
All right. You got modern some losers here.
What do you mean losers?
This guy, Jack Haley, Charles Darrow. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So what?
All right. I will post to our Facebook group about Mr. Fender, since you know nothing.
No.
Or how desirable any. Because the Stratocaster.
Well, they're worth money. I know that.
I mean, 1953, they started working on this thing.
That's a cat. Yeah, well.
Telecaster.
Contribution to music is dubious.
Dubious?
Yeah.
It cannot be overstated, the contribution to music.
Clavier. Play a clavier. Play like he invented a saxophone. All right.
No, that was by Jimmy Sax.
Next.
Next. Well, now this guy. This dude.
The only thing about this guy. Well,
boy, could he make sausage.
All right. Well, I liked
Jimmy
him
Dean.
I liked him in Diamonds Are Forever. Willard White speaking. Remember that? He's always on the toilet. I'll take it in the John. Remember Bambi and Thumper? I see you.
Well, I do remember Bambi and Thumper.
They were guarding him. I see you met my friends, Bambi and Thumper.
Do not enjoy?
He was basically playing Howard Hughes because he's at the he's at the top of the White House. God. Willard White. And remember, Blofeld had that voice thing, so he could do his voice.
Well, that's true.
Charles Gray.
That's true.
That was Jimmy Dean. Yeah.
I'm looking for a couple things on his.
That's all I know about the guy and his sausage.
Well,
business,
come on.
Well, I guess he's a singer. I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. What did he sing?
Songs.
Big Bad John.
Big Bad John.
Was it? Okay.
And
Big
the Cajun Queen. IOU. That's another one. Let me go down the list here. Jimmy Dean songs. I Won't Go Hunting Without You.
I like
that. That's a country.
Yeah.
Just a Little Talk with Jesus. 16 Tons.
What do you get?
Yep.
Yeah, had a good bass voice.
Drinking from My Saucer. Oh, there you go. Mile Long Train.
That's a gaffe, isn't it? That's not Emily Post.
Striker Bill. See, he's for the common man. Harvest of Sunshine. That's trite. Yeah. Yes, Patricia, there is a Santa Claus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a song?
Yeah. Well, or he performed it, yeah.
Patricia?
Well, it's Yes, Victoria, but for the song, apparently they changed it to Patricia.
Too many syllables.
Yeah,
Bruce Springsteen ought to write that song.
Yeah. And then
he's got one note and four syllables.
And then The Sausage.
Okay.
Which,
all right. Well, that's what he's probably known as.
Yeah, I think, it's just, come on. 1928, Eddie Fisher.
Yeah.
You don't like him? All right.
He's all right. He had a good voice. But
1943,
Liz Taylor. I think she left him for Richard Burton.
Well,
Carrie Fisher's father.
Yeah.
And we know how she turned out.
Well,
that's too bad.
She turned out really well.
Yeah, well, she not that well.
No, she turned out really well. She was in Star Wars. She turned out great.
No, yeah, but that was still tragic.
Okay, well, yes,
so you want to live Carrie Fisher's life?
Yes. Give me Carrie Fisher's life. I'll be quite happy appearing in four Star Wars films. Yes. I'll be quite satisfied.
All right.
And I'll check out at whatever age she checked out at. I will be a happy camper. Damn right.
You want to take it up the ass from Jabba the Hutt?
No, I don't think that happened that way.
Who wants to see you in chains in a bikini?
Oh, I didn't say I wanted to reenact the things. I just... No.
All right.
Although, I got to have Debbie Reynolds as a mom. That seems like it could be a little overbearing at times.
I don't know. She's like a nice lady.
Okay. She died the day after Carrie, too. Yeah, well, I remember that.
It's hard to take, man.
Ronnie Spector, singer-songwriter, 1943.
Right, 1947, I got a better singer-songwriter.
Name him.
Ian Anderson. Much better.
Ian Anderson.
Yeah. You ever heard of Jethro Tull?
Yep.
Duh.
Well, yep.
Now, that's a good band.
Now, they won.
And he played a hell of a flute,
they won
too.
The first Grammy for metal.
Well,
which
should.
Was completely, no.
Thick as a brick.
Completely misplaced. One of the dumbest awards ever given out.
Bull.
Jethro Tull
they're
is
great,
a metal
band. Great band.
No, they are. Aqualung, that's a great song.
Oh,
come on.
Thanks. I like Cross-Eyed Mary.
I don't know many other songs because the radio
Cross-Eyed
station
Mary.
I would play, only played about three, four Jethro songs in their rotation.
Pussy Pinko station.
No, KC95 was not a Pussy Pinko station.
What, you tell me, they only played a few Tull songs?
At the time I was there, yeah. Now, they may have expanded the list today a little deeper, but yeah. Because that's what the audience wanted. You know, they want those three or four big hits.
Bungle in the Jungle is a big one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And,
that was a good one.
What's the other one? Something Breath, Mr.
Well, you got me.
Locomotive Breath.
Locomotive.
It's a good song, man.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, Ian Anderson,
now there's a
man.
Title.
Yeah,
Jimmy Dean wouldn't be singing Locomotive Breath.
Well, he'd be singing about a locomotive, but not Locomotive
My
Breath.
My favorite's Cross-Eyed Mary. Check it out.
All right. I will.
It's on Aqualung.
1960, Antonio Banderas.
Passable actor.
Yeah, he's okay. Married Melanie Griffith after Don Johnson.
Yeah, you got a problem about that.
I don't like Melanie
Griffith. Yeah, I got a problem with her.
1967, Riddick Bowe.
Oh, yeah, those fights with Galata.
Woo.
Man, oh, man, those guys. they disqualified him twice. I mean, he just punched him right in the balls.
Yes.
I mean, not even hiding. The second fight was worse. Yeah, the second fight was worse. But the first fight, they had to carry Duva out on the stretcher, remember?
Yes.
Somebody got hit with a radio. I think it was it Bo? Somebody socked him with a radio. Or Galata. I guess it was Galata.
Oh, socked him with the radio.
Yeah, or whatever.
The Duva brothers.
Yeah.
Was it, oh, man. Was it Lou and...
I don't remember the other guy, but I remember Lou Duva. He was like 75.
Yeah,
he was like doing a Mickey from Rocky.
And then didn't Riddick go and join the Marines then?
Oh, did he?
And lasted about a week.
Oh, man. Was that their fight, too? The one that the guy flew in on the, you know, he came in, you know, parachuted in?
Was that a Bo Holyfield fight?
Maybe. I think he's the first guy to knock out Holyfield. He beat him. He beat him, I think, twice. Gave him his first loss, and I think he knocked him out before Tyson, or before those Tyson fights.
Yeah, that was Bo Holyfield?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was Bo Holyfield.
It was outside. And
it threw the whole rhythm of the whole fight off, too. You know, because this is when Caesars used to have the outdoor parking lot,
the pavilion,
sort of portable stadium they would set up.
Yeah.
Which I saw one fight in. It wasn't bad, you know, because you were pretty close to the action and everything.
It's not a bad place to have a
not
fight.
Not a bad setup at all.
It's like 102 outside.
But it would be hot, and you were on asphalt, and even at 10 o'clock at night, it was hot.
Yeah, Vegas, anybody been there knows it's 96 at 10 o'clock.
So, yeah, that was Bo Holyfield 2.
Yeah, the Galata fights are more fun.
Oh, yes, man. Yes.
He just pounded him right in the balls.
And 1971, now this guy you're going to like, Armand, Roy Keane.
I don't know.
The hardest man in English football.
Oh, good.
Manchester United captain.
Could he headbutt Zidane?
He could have killed Zidane.
Well, John's French.
I will show you a video of Roy Keane getting in a bust up in the tunnel before they even get on the field.
Okay.
He once told a guy.
He's one of the Hanson brothers.
He was. I'm not making.
A goon.
Yes. Yes. But a very gifted player as well.
He had a fucking root beer.
Oh.
Remember that line?
Trying to. Roy would be the guy if the ref came up and during the anthem. He's up trying to listen to the song.
Yeah.
Was a fucking song.
All right. Yeah.
But he did. I remember. Okay. He told a guy. And told everyone, I'm going to go out and I'm going to break your leg.
Who was that basketball guy?
And he did.
Was it Bill Laimbeer? Remember him?
Oh, he was a tough
goon,
one.
Too.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Oh, the whole Bad Boys were.
Yeah. Well, that was Detroit, right?
Detroit from 86 through, let's say, 92 until Rick Mahorn
had a game, right?
Didn't traded
he have, like,
away.
A video game or something? Oh, Bill Laimbeer's, like, beat him up basketball or something?
If you couldn't play basketball, do what the Pistons did.
There you go. Like, you should play for the Flyers.
Rough it the hell up. All right, back to the events. Let's run through these. 1961, first time Agent Orange is used by the U.S. Army, and they do so in Vietnam in 61.
That's pretty early.
That's. Do you know the chemical name for Agent Orange?
Well, dioxin's in it, isn't it? Isn't that what dioxin comes from? Out there in Times, ask the guys in Times Beach.
Well,
it's a defoliant.
It is a.
It's not. It's not an anti-personnel thing. It's to get, you know, because they got you don't want to fight in the forest, and that's what it's there. It's there to kill all the plants.
Yeah, it will kill any vegetation.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a defoliant, I believe, is what it's called. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah. Oh, they also say a herbicide. Yeah,
I'll call that.
It's definitely a herbicide.
2,4-5-T and 2,4-D. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at too.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I've got a buddy that's got had Agent Orange and never got poor guy's never gotten any money or anything. He's sued the hell out of people. Hasn't gotten anything. Tetrachlorodibenzopidioxin. Okay, that's the one I think
there's
is
in
Times Beach. 2,4 dichlorophenoxyacetic acid. Acetic acid. That's vinegar. Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you did, huh?
Yeah. No, I know, because I have apple cider vinegar in the fridge here for something. Yeah.
Trichlorophenoxyacetic acid, 2,4,5. Okay.
Nasty stuff. Although, I'm telling you, when they drop that napalm scene in Apocalypse Now.
Man, that is probably the best war scene I ever shot. They actually had the helicopters.
Oh, yeah. It was Ferdinand Marcos' helicopters.
Right, he needed them, though.
By the way, you should see the scene that was filmed for the 15-minute battle sequence at the end of Game of Thrones for this season, where the dragons come in and napalm the Lannister army. The cinematography is breathtaking. It's real.
It's all computer generated.
It is, but they're getting much, much better at it.
I know, but it's not the same.
I know, but it's...
You're never going to have another.
It's... it's getting much, much better. 1969, the day after the Tate murders, where Sharon Tate and four others were murdered by the Manson cult. The Mansons, because Charlie is not happy, head out on the road again. And this time, on August 10th, they kill Leno, Rosemary LaBianca. Yeah. And that's if you ever wondered why it's called the Tate LaBianca murders, because it's on consecutive days at the Tate home and at the LaBianca home. Then after that, I forget how they catch Charlie, though. He does some,
I don't remember. It wasn't that much longer. Later after.
No.
And L.A. was in a panic.
Yeah, they should be, because it's gruesome.
Yeah.
And it's happening.
So get a gun.
Wow.
Wouldn't you? I'd get a gun.
Well, here's another thing. It's going to come up just one after this event. 1971, the Society for American Baseball Research, founded in Cooperstown, New York.
God, I hope the government doesn't pay for this.
No, they don't. This is what's called sabermetricians, which is the acronym SABR, Society American Baseball Research. That's where you get that name. Then in 1977, August the 10th, 24-year-old postal employee by the name of David, he's arrested for a series of killings in New York City over the period of at least 1 year. He's arrested in Yonkers, New York. David Berkowitz, and it's a traffic ticket that leads the police to him from the scene or near the scene of one of the murders. So Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, who was instructed by a dog, his neighbor's dog, named?
Well, Harvey.
Harvey.
We talked about that.
The
neighbor was Sam.
Yeah, to do these killings.
Yeah. Six people killed, seven wounded.
Now, over the course of a year, if you know there is a murderer on the loose who is shooting people in their cars, why are New Yorkers continuing to hang out in their cars parked on streets? What in the hell are you doing?
What are the odds?
Probably pretty good that you're going to get it if you're hanging out for any amount of time in a parked car. Because anyone who walks up, you got to think is a potential suspect.
Some of my best times in parked cars.
Not while, with a murderer on the loose? Okay.
It's more fun that way. More exciting.
You go back to 1977 New York and park your big Buick.
My Gran Torino.
Your Gran Torino. There you go, boy.
Me and Starsky and Hutch.
You didn't park
with those guys.
Yeah, you didn't have the swoosh thing on it, did you?
That'd be cool. No, I had Monte Carlo, though.
Okay. But who's sitting in cars knowing that this is going on? Why?
What, you want to pay for a hotel? Not me. Anyway, the good news is he's gotten his degree and he's a born again Christian.
He is a born again Christian.
Yeah, he's from Sullivan Community College. Graduated with honors.
Well, I would hope he did something. He's got plenty of time.
Yeah.
But boy,
he doesn't want probation, though, or a parole.
No.
Yeah, but he's up for it every 2 years. He didn't even show up.
No, don't. Don't even bother.
Well, at least he admits that.
Right. He's got the right idea. He's got the right idea.
All right,
boy, I was about 6 or 7 when that was happening.
I remember the guys from Washington, D.C. They had that thing that shoot out of the back of their car.
Yeah, but that was only like 15 years ago.
Yeah,
that was scary. Man.
Yeah, those guys. Now, that's scary. And then the L.A., you know, the guy was shooting people on the freeway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because other idiots then got out there with toy guns on the freeway and stuck them out the window.
That's fun in L.A.
Yeah, could have been a catastrophe. 1981. This is the date that Adam Walsh was murdered. If you don't know who Adam Walsh is.
I don't, but I know who his dad is.
His dad is John Walsh, and this is the event that would inspire his father, John, to create the television series America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, pretty successful.
So, yeah, a very successful series, and a series where it did lead to the capture and conviction of criminals.
Why do we not still have this?
I don't know, because I think this should still be on the air. And if you thought John was just a host, no, he was not. He was a father who was in mourning, but was deciding to do something. Yes, he is. Deciding to do something about it. His son murdered August 10th, 1981.
Yep.
Back in 88, Ronald Reagan signs a Civil Liberties Act. And inside this act, Japanese Americans who had been sequestered during World War II in camps out west or throughout America, and had certainly been relocated from their homes during the Second World War, were each provided with
given free vacations.
Yeah, vacation, right? Yeah, out in the high desert in a shack,
Manzanar.
But they were given $20,000 payments, which doesn't seem like a lot, even by 1988 bucks. But there you have it. So that's Reagan did something I like. How about that? Of course, he's on his
spending money, right?
Well, yeah,
giving money away. That's what you like.
Yeah, well, yeah, and now, you don't.
When are we going to pay off all the slaves?
You don't. So
no, I don't.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't want the Japanese, our own citizens.
Why should Ronald Reagan pay for something FDR did? That's what I don't have.
Do you want to take it from the FDR estate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let him pay for it.
I don't care where you get it from, but give him something. I mean, these are American citizens, and they were basically jailed.
Yeah, but this is 50 years later, or 45 years later.
40 plus years later. Yes,
okay,
it is.
Well, when does it end?
I don't know.
Well, people still want money for slavery, and they were never slaves.
And you know that's not going to happen.
Well, but they still want it. Well, sure.
Well, then
I want money from the Turks.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, I don't deserve it. All my great grandparents were
killed. Absolutely,
I deserve money. Yeah, right. No, I don't deserve anything.
I'm just saying you do. Why don't you make a claim and see where it goes?
I deserve to marry a Turkish gal and live in agony the rest of my life. That's what I deserve.
1990, the Magellan space probe reaches Venus on the very date that Magellan set sail.
Well, there's got to be some sort of
that was planned.
Grim irony about that.
That was planned. Yep. That's
the first one actually launched from a interplanetary mission launched from a space shuttle, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it took off from it takes off
from
orbit.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not a singular launch.
That's what should be doing anyway. I mean, because that's where all your weight comes, all this liquid oxygen and everything. You take. That's why they want a base on the moon.
Yeah.
Saying take off.
Yeah. It creates efficiencies, which I'm all for. If if you're going to continue to do it as efficiently
but
as
we're
possible.
We're not going to.
I don't think we are either.
Musk might, but not us.
Yeah, he's going to
get NASA.
And in 1995, Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols indicted on this date for the Oklahoma City bombings. Of the
wasn't that another thing they did on Hitler's birthday?
The Alfred P. Mura building. Now, Michael Fortier pleads guilty in a plea bargain for his testimony, and that testimony, of course,
fries the other guy.
Gets Nichols and McVeigh.
Right.
So there you have it. Those are the events. I only have two deaths today, Armand. Can you help me out with some? Do you have some?
Well, first, let's see. I don't know if I'm going to go in order here. Yeah. I have the wedding, 1912.
Is that a death?
This is the weird one.
But it's a death.
Yeah, more or less.
Because it's a
spiritually,
wedding?
Spiritually, for those getting married.
Oh.
Leonard and Virginia Woolf. These are some really weird people.
Was Leonard afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Leonard never touched Virginia Woolf.
I get it.
I think they're both our LGBT friends.
I get what you're laying down.
But anyway, they got married. And
yes.
Leonard was this socialist Fabian jerk. Had some stupid notions about world peace. Now, meanwhile, while Virginia's sleeping with Vita Sackville West, who is the inspiration for her novel Orlando.
I read Orlando in college. Not a bad novel.
Yeah. All right, Lytton Strachey. We were talking about the Bloomsbury Group.
Yes.
You know, everybody's sleeping with everybody.
Uh-huh, yeah, it's
old friend John Maynard Keynes.
Yeah, it's a free love deal.
Yeah. Oh, interesting thing about Strachey, though, I was reading up on, he had a nice little deal with his lover, this guy named Roger Stanhouse. They used to mock crucify each other.
And God.
That sounds like fun. Okay. Yeah.
Sounds like the worst thing ever.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on at the Bloomsbury Group.
Good
but anyway,
grief.
Leonard and they got married, 1912.
All right.
And then she killed herself in 1941.
So there's your death out of the marriage.
Yeah, so it is kind of a death.
Yeah, I only have two from my standpoint. One, great American actor, born in 1918, died in 1932, 14 years old. Now, that's a good run. Well, you were thinking, well, wait a second. Well,
Shirley Temple.
It's a good run if you're a dog, and it's Ren 10-10.
Yeah, he was like the highest paid, like $6,000 a week that dog was making.
Wow, what's he doing with the
Here's
money?
A trivia question. In whose arms did Ren 10-10 die? And I'll give you a hint. I'd like to die in her arms.
Claudette Colbert.
No, somebody really stacked.
Hmm.
This gal had an untimely death herself.
Hmm. And so this has to occur in 1932. I don't know, Armand. Who
I think
we got?
Her real name was Mortensen.
Who we got?
Jean Harlow.
Ooh.
She was neighbors to the guy that I think the guy's owner was like Lee Duncan. That's the guy that found him.
Yeah.
Ren 10-10.
Yeah.
And they had a house next door to each other. And she came over because Ren couldn't even get up. And she laid his head in her lap and he expired without a bark.
Yeah.
Without a yip.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, that's the way you'd like to go, huh? In Jean Harlow's
in her lap.
Lap.
Yep. Staring up at her bosoms. Preferably uncovered. All right.
Yeah, I'm sure she would take her top off.
All right, I got Estes Kefauver.
Who's that?
You never heard of the Kefauver?
I've heard Kefauver of the Kefauver Commission.
Not kerfuffle. The organized crime, remember the hands? The Frank Costello, you couldn't see his face, just his hands. That was the Kefauver Commission, I believe it was called.
Are they the ones who rounded up everyone
Mafia.
In upstate New York?
Well, no, that was Appalachia. Yeah, that was before this. It was about the same time. It was all televised.
Okay.
So
they would only
Senate
show the hands
Senate?
Of the...
that was Costello, because he couldn't. The other guys were totally on it, but he made a deal that you can't show my face.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all he saw was his hands. Anyway, that was inquiries into the Mafia, and Kefauver was ahead of that. Now, the interesting thing about him, 1952, okay, who was the Democratic nominee for president?
Adlai Stevenson.
Right. Now, in the primaries, how many votes do you think, Adlai? You want to take a guess? I'm going to give you... Kefauver got 3.1 million votes.
Yeah.
How many do you think Stevenson got?
About 200,000.
78,000. But that's, you know, that's like all our buddy Bernie. Unfortunately, this guy got screwed too.
Yep.
And they picked
the machine.
The machine picked Adlai Stevenson.
Yeah.
Now, in 56, they were nice to him and they made him the vice presidential
nominee with Adlai again.
Yeah, with Adlai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if he didn't win once, you try again.
Try to run him out there again.
Sure. So that's what you get when you run an egghead. 1945, Robert Goddard.
Well, Goddard,
how you miss this guy.
Goddard Space Institute.
Right, liquid rocketry and all that stuff. I always thought the guy...
Would you put him second behind Von Braun in terms of importance?
Maybe ahead of Braun.
Ahead?
He died young, though, but he's out in Roswell doing his thing.
What could he have done with another 20 years?
Yeah, he died young because he had TB. And that's one of the reasons, I always read that this guy was kind of a jerk and everybody, he didn't share any of his scientific findings And the Army didn't really care. The thing is, in the 30s, our Army didn't give a shit about what he was doing. But the hell the Germans did.
Oh, sure they did.
So he sent some papers to Abwehr.
Oh, no.
And the Russians, too. They had spies up his ass, too. But our Army didn't care. It's like, this is going nowhere.
So no wonder they were able to infiltrate
in New
Mexico.
So that might have helped things out. But anyway, he was kind of secretive, but because he had TB and he's really a weak guy, he didn't like to have a lot of people around because, it wasn't good for his blood pressure, I guess, or... He didn't want to be argumentative and didn't want any conflicts. So he wasn't a jerk. He was just, kind of isolated because of his health.
Wow.
So he died young. He died in 45, right after the war.
Right after.
During, really.
Well, day after Nagasaki is bombed. So he doesn't even get to see the formal surrender.
I'm surprised the Russians didn't invade Rockwell or Roswell. Yeah.
Well, there's a book on that where the thing that comes down in 47.
What was the name of Drake's ship?
The Golden Hind?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Pelican.
The Pelican. God damn it.
The Pelican. That. Which, the Golden Hind has a much better ring to it. I prefer. And the other death, the singer, songwriter, a pianist, producer, an actor.
Yeah, screenwriter.
They everything.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Producer. Isaac Hayes, who I think you might have liked, passed away in 2008.
Is he the guy that did Shaft? Isn't that him?
I always got to check to make sure.
One bad mole. Shut your mouth.
The voice is.
Isn't that him?
The voice.
It's got to be Isaac Hayes, right?
Tremendous.
Shaft. Theme from Shaft, isn't it? That's the one I remember.
Yep, 1971 Shaft. And I want to make sure. Yeah, he was Chef on South Park, the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Which is phenomenal. Phenomenal. You'd probably have a heart attack watching it, but phenomenal. God, is it good.
All right. Before either of us has a heart attack, let's cut this off.
They just keep.
So Ocho Man can come in the studio and do his rotten show.
Don't forget, check out all the other great podcasts, such as Ocho Man's Behind the Eight Ball, or he also does one on his favorite football team, Cowboys Podcast. Oh, Cowboys are great, dude. They're gonna be good again, man. Podcast.
And they're the St. Louis Blues.
No, they're gonna cash in on a Super Bowl here pretty soon within the next 3 years.
Would you like to bet on that?
Sure. Bet you lunch.
3 years? Okay, you're on.
Yeah, we're on. There you go. So go to lineupmedia.fm, check out the whole inventory of shows we have for you. And also, while you're there, go to our little website, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. Subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. And you won't be disappointed. I hope everyone's enjoying Certainly the numbers tell us that a lot of you are listening, and we appreciate it. So for producers Brian Kroc today and Andrew Allen today as well, and my co-host, of course, Armand Kachigian, I'm Tony Hubert, and when August 11th rolls around here at Lineup, we will be right here to tell you about it.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.